At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I hate for it to be like the story of the draft. I know it will be. That's just how our world is based and is driven. But I can't say it gets annoying. I can't say it's annoying. No, because it's what people want to see. It's piqued more interest. I feel like, you know, what's Kelsey's girlfriend name? I feel like her right now. It's based on, I'm Taylor Swift right now. And Terry's Kelsey, I guess. I mean, we're making this thing popular, man. I don't know what that is.
What are we doing? He's tired, guys. He's getting tired. We should probably wrap this up. We're going to
we're famous right now. I don't know.
That's a little Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot. I can tell Terry Fontenot wasn't on board with it. Hey, when you speak extemporaneously, you never know what's going to come out. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But his instincts are right. They're not famous, though. They're notorious. I don't want to say laughingstocks yet, because there's a chance this can still work, but most people around the league just look at it and say, what the hell were they thinking? And good luck. Let's see how you get yourself out of this mess. Let's see how you handle all these different issues. Because it's not enough, as I said yesterday, for Raheem Morris to say, Kirk Cousins doesn't need to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. It's not up to Raheem Morris. It's the locker room. It's the media. It's the fan base.
Yeah.
It's everyone.
It's all going to be pressure.
Everything.
Right. Exactly.
And it's going to create this mess. And you've got Michael Penix Jr., who isn't just going to sit back and say, hey, I'm fine to ride the bench for 4 or 5 years. So it's just a huge, huge mess.
It is.
And there aren't many people who are trying to defend it. And I hear some of the arguments. And the arguments are, frankly,
the arguments are, I talked to the Falcons and they told me to say this. And now, wait, I said it. And I got nothing else to say except that one talking point. Let's end the segment and go on to something else. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, there's not a lot to defend here. The defense is, oh, they're going to be able to hand this off. And there's not going to be a transition period as far as franchise quarterbacks are concerned. That's the defense. Or, hey, he was high on our board, and we had him a top 3 pick on the board, and he's there at number 8, and it made sense that way. Okay, but again, like we talked about, there's so many other things that go into that, the influencing of the decision. And, yeah, they're going to be able to sell to everybody, hey, we're going to go from one franchise quarterback to another. But within that, you're not going to maximize the first franchise quarterback. You're not. It's not. It's going to put a lot of pressure on the situation and could become dysfunctional. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong there to where you go, yeah, it's a seamless transition, except, oh, that's right, we're going to waste $50 million maybe if it only goes 1 year. And we're going to waste another $50 on just nothing then. And again, in the era of allocated assets and a salary cap, those are valuable things that everybody looks up and goes, wait, that's weird. How are they going to do that? That doesn't make sense. And it's also like, I know there's the defense of, oh, we don't know when we'll be able to pick again this hire, when we'll be able to get a quarterback. Like, come on. Like, what? Is that a talking point right now? I mean, right now, we're in the golden era of quarterbacks coming out in the draft. It's like every year there's big-time talent. So I don't know if I can buy that excuse either, and I think that's where the whole league is just like, what? This is weird.
If you're hearing any voices that are supporting this move, I mean, this is a byproduct of teams and leagues that pay people to work for them. This is a byproduct of feeling like you have to be buddies with the people you cover and not maintain a wall that divides relationship from your job. And it gets blurred. And yeah, this is what they told me. This is what my friends have told me. So I'm going to go out and say that because that's what they told me. And then they'll be happy with me. And this is temporary, but the relationship lasts longer. That's one of the pitfalls. And, you know, that's why it's
but there's
it's
no yeah there's
it's
no
it's say what needs to be said.
Exactly.
It's
that's
difficult because
right.
It's going to piss people off,
right? Yeah. And the but, people that are defending know, it they like you said, they have no, they're coming up with just, you know, excuses of
well it's what
a lot of quarterbacks got hurt last year, and yeah. We don't know where Kirk Cousins will be, and you know, Penix is so special, and it's just, yeah, okay, I don't know. It still doesn't make sense.
I've heard the comparison that, like, this would be like if the Jets used their first-round pick last year on a quarterback right after they acquired Aaron Rodgers. Well, first, even the Jets were not dumb enough to do that. And secondly, it's not like Rodgers had a viable alternative. It was either retire or go to the Jets. Cousins could have stayed in Minnesota. As we said yesterday, and I believe this 100%, if we were to attach Kirk Cousins to a lie detector machine or feed his veins with sodium pentothal, he would say, I never would have left Minnesota if I knew that when I went to Atlanta, their first order of business was going to be draft my successor. And we have proof, kind of, to support our belief.
You got the Zapruder film? You got it?
Here's Kirk Cousins. From March, the press conference that is far more infamous for all the times he admitted that the Falcons blatantly tampered with him. Here's something else he said, which was kind of a dig at the Vikings, possibly, but it was also an indication of how great things were going to be for him in Atlanta. Here's what he said.
When the owner, general manager, head coach, and quarterback are on the same page, that's when you really have a chance to go win a Super Bowl. And as I looked at the Atlanta Falcons, I believe strongly that the owner, head coach, general manager, and quarterback can all be on the same page. You know, I think in Minnesota, it was trending over the last couple off seasons to be in somewhat year to year. And as we talked with Atlanta, it felt like this was a place where, you know, if I play at the level I expect to play, that I can retire a Falcon. And that was something that really excited me. And that's certainly the goal.
That's why he's pissed. That's why he's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback are on the same page, but the quarterback's Michael Penix, not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you on the same page with us? We're going to take your successor here in about 30 seconds. You on the same page?
They didn't even give him the book, Chris. But somebody emailed me that. Thank you very much to the viewer or reader or both who sent me that. It was the first email I saw this morning. And, you know, I complain because people treat the email box like it's pen pal or message board or rant about this or rant about that. But every once in a while, it's worth kissing the frogs because it's like, yeah, he did say that. Holy crap. He was led to believe that it really is the four musketeers, the owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback, all marching into a successful future where they try to undo the 28-3 debacle from Super Bowl 51 and finally win a championship in Atlanta. And here's this great piece, 8th overall pick. Instead of getting someone who helps Kirk Cousins win, they have his successor.
Yeah.
And that year-to-year vibe right. was real. The Vikings did have a let's see what you do.
Right.
Well, guess what? Now in Atlanta, as he walks through the door, let's see what you do. Basically year-to-year.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you mentioned the Green Bay, the Rodgers thing. It's not the same circumstance. It's not. It's different. Also, within that, too, Green Bay's team was in a pretty good spot is where it was built. There wasn't, like, a lot of, like, oh, my gosh, necessities, big needs. The only thing we were complaining about is why don't they give him another wide receiver, right? That was the real thing of
that. You
mean
the Jets?
Green Bay about? When they did the Jordan Love draft, right? And did something like that. Right,
but I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers when he went to the Jets last year. Like,
I know.
He walks through the door.
I know. You had brought the Green Bay thing up earlier too, I thought you did. But either way, my point is, what's different about the drafting the quarterback to succeed the next guy too is the state of your team and where you're at. right? And I think that's where it bothers Falcons fans and most people that look at it and go, wait, you know, yeah, there was some people there at that pick that would be, to your point, make the team a lot better. Whoa, we got Byron Murphy. Whoa, we got the best D tackle in the draft, the best defensive player in the draft. Oh, my gosh, look at them, him in the middle of our defense. Or a Dallas Turner where we know they don't have a top-end pass rusher that way. And that's where I think it's a little weird is just that, yeah, anybody that was paying attention to the situation goes, wait, there was needs there. Now, I like the guys they took in round 2, 3, and 4. They are good football players, and they address that. But are they guys like Byron Murphy and Dallas Turner? No, they are not that, and that's why those guys went in the top 20 of the draft.
That top 10 pick, as you said yesterday, it's a huge asset.
Huge asset.
It's about maximizing your assets, and it's about now. It's about now. It's about now. And the Cousins signing was about now, and then the draft pick is about not
3 years from now.
The draft pick is about whenever they turn the page, or 2 years from now, or 1 year from now, if Cousins' ultimate reaction is, get me the hell out of here. You know, I thought of this when I wrote the item this morning, that feeling that we get from time to time. I've had it a couple of times in my life where I make a big decision, I implement it, and then once the dust settles, I'm like, what the hell? What did I do? Why did I do this? And when you have that acknowledgement to yourself, you start thinking of, is there a way to undo this? And I just wonder if that's what Cousins is thinking about. Not that he could undo it now, but maybe it's a one-year thing. Maybe after this year, he's not comfortable in Atlanta and he wants to go somewhere else to finish his career. We'll see. It just changes everything. And when you look at his words, coach, owner, GM, quarterback, all on the same page, clearly that isn't the case in Atlanta, or they wouldn't have drafted Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall. And they wouldn't have told Cousins what was happening when they were on the clock ready to make the pick.
It's so weird. It ruins the buzz of him coming into the building the first time to be the commander of the ship. Like, some of the guys are going to be like, oh, Penix was already in there, Kirk. Go ahead. Yeah, we've already gushed about it. Like, I mean, it's weird. It's not the right way to set it up for your franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl and do all of that. And then you throw on the asset conversation like you talked about. It makes no sense.
So in Minnesota, there was a trade up from 11 to 10 to secure the quarterback that they decided they wanted. Now, I kind of think they wanted Drake May, but apparently McCarthy also acceptable. One of the things Kevin O'Connell said before the draft that got out, because even though he said it at some church thing, you know, it is 2024 and people have cameras and things get out. I think he was irritated that a certain prominent football news and analysis website, you know, put a big spotlight on it, but it's a big deal when he says, I'm a quarterback killer, and a lot of guys over the past few years, they've wanted to acquire, and I've said no, 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 no. He says yes to J.J. McCarthy. Team says yes to J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy was on with our good friend Paul Allen yesterday on KFAN, and here is McCarthy on the question of what made the Vikings an attractive destination for the top quarterbacks in the 2024 draft class?
I believe it's because, you know, first, the organization is just such a tremendous organization from the top down. And then you go to Coach O'Connell and him being a former quarterback and understanding the position to a T and playing at the highest level as well as coaching at the highest level and grow. And then you add, you know, the tremendous weapons that are around you with all the receivers, you know, the tremendous offensive linemen and, you know, just the pickup with Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler. Like, it's just a tremendous position to be in for a young guy coming up into this league.
You know, from what you know now, what is special about the ways Kevin O'Connell runs offense?
I would say what's special about it is how QB friendly it is. You know, being able to have a lot of pure progressions, have a lot of great, you know, footwork that marries up with the concepts. It makes it so much easier on the quarterback and obviously with the weapons around you. But he's been there before. He's ran this offense for a long time, you know, being from the McVay tree and just being able to, you know, be in that system. I am extremely thrilled. And that was another thing that was extremely enticing for all the quarterbacks from this class.
Hey, look, I said it beforehand, and I know the draft is the draft, and this is how it goes, honor and a privilege, but if any of those guys could have picked who to go be coached by, it was O'Connell and it was Sean Payton. Those are the two. And given that O'Connell still isn't even 40 yet, is he 40? If he's 40, he's not very far.
Just barely at it.
Maybe like
right.
39 or 40.
Right.
I mean, you got a guy that's going to be there your entire career if things work. If you can do the Drew Brees, Sean Payton, I mean, look how long they lasted from 06 until, what was it, through the 2021 season or 2020. Payton stayed a year after Brees retired. So you can have a guy who will be there, and you'll keep getting better and better and better and better the longer you're working together. We hear all the time, and it is sad when it happens to a young quarterback who gets tossed from one system to another, one coordinator to another, while he's on the same team. Alex Smith, remember his first 5 years? It was a different coordinator every single year in San Francisco. You can develop, you can build, you can grow. That's why O'Connell was so excited about Cousins last year at the scouting combine. When we talked to him after we had interviewed him, he was going on and on about how this guy's never had the same person in his ear for two consecutive years and what a difference that is going to make. And it did, even though, you know, they had all the fumbles and the issues. Wait, that was boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that was this year, this past year. I mean, even though they were a better team, even though the record wasn't great early on, you could see Cousins was improving. That's what McCarthy's going to have. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It keeps growing and growing. And I could see why any of those guys, if they would have been able to pick where they were going to go, O'Connell, regardless, nothing to do with the Vikings. It's the coach. You want to hitch your wagon to O'Connell because he's going to get you farther than anybody else is going.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, again, the results speak for itself. You see their offense. I mean, it's at times it's unstoppable. You know, the way they can get people open 20 and 25 yards down the field, it's incredible, right? If you're a quarterback, not only are you liking that, and yeah, it's a head coach that's speaking your language, and you know he's going to do everything to make the quarterback look good and make him, you know, be in a spot of, you know, a position of power or where he can succeed. Quarterbacks love that. Got answers for everything. There's no gray area in the offense, right? Those are bad offenses. Great. Well, there's a rule for this, but if it's kind of like this, and it's like, well, then that's not a rule. A rule, we got to have something defined there. And that's where O'Connell's special. And then you add on top of, holy crap, those receivers I get to play with. And then, holy crap, like J.J. McCarthy said, I mean, they have one of the best pass-protecting left tackles in football in Darisaw, and they have one of the best pass-protecting right tackles in football in O'Neal. I mean, they're kind of incredible at the tackle position there. So those things are going to make quarterbacks feel good. And then it's a perfect system fit. I mean, O'Connell, you know the Vikings, they don't even run the ball that well, but they kill everybody with play-action pass. And McCarthy's made for play-action pass. That's what he did at Michigan. And the way that how he throws the ball and how he can move in the pocket, man, he makes so many good 20 and 25 yard throws throughout his career at Michigan with deep crossers, corner routes, off of play action, in cuts. And that's where you see Justin Jefferson tearing the league up. And that's where I think it's going to be a very good fit. And I don't think it's going to be a big time adjustment. I think JJ McCarthy is ready, mature. He's run a pro offense. And I would not be shocked if your Vikings are very much in the mix, even with a rookie quarterback this year and a real pain in the ass in the NFC.
You mentioned Justin Jefferson.
Right.
I said before the draft, this is fairly simple. Right. Pay the guy or trade him to a team who will and then move up to get Jaden Daniels or Drake May or whatever. Obviously, they didn't. They still haven't paid him. Here's General Manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah on the question of the Justin Jefferson contract.
Almost made it through the entire draft weekend without asking you about Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
I'm just curious where things stand there. And you've talked periodically about in the off season. Is there any significant update that's going with that?
Yeah, we continue to have great dialogue with their representative. You know, we're excited to work towards it. We're going to keep going. You can't have all these plans when we talk about all these visions and not talk about the King linchpin. So we're going to keep working towards that end goal.
First of all, he's got the vest, the very limited edition, can't buy it in stores. I got one downstairs, wore it last Thursday, vest.
Damn.
So I like to see that.
Wow.
He was working through his nerves by I'd done that from time to time, too. You slide the wedding ring on and off just to kind of fit. That's your fidget because you really don't like this topic. Look. One of the things he said is when Justin Jefferson signs his contract, we don't want it to be in the middle of the draft. We want him to have his own week or whatever. Here's the problem. Devontae Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown. Three contracts that have driven the price even higher. Now, if they're going to pay him off of Nick Bosa, it doesn't matter. Nobody has passed Nick Bosa at $34 million per year in new money. And we established last week that based upon the things Kwesi Odofe-Mensah said at the scouting combine, they need to be thinking Bosa, not Brown. Brown now at $32 million per year, the highest paid receiver, new money. It's a little misleading, but they all are. We'll just take the biggest number because that's where these guys are trying to get, and they'll do it with their own contract that is misleading on the surface. With Jefferson, I've done the math. I've got the numbers out there. It's very easy to do. It's like a 3-year extension, 4-year deal, fully guarantee the first 3 years. It's like $120 million, $122 million on a 4-year deal. The salary cap's $255. It keeps going up. This is something that I feel like they could do in a day if they wanted to. They could have it done by the end of today if they wanted to. And the longer they wait, it's going to keep getting more expensive. It's not going to get cheaper. I can understand saying, let's wait it out. Eventually, the market will dip. Let's not buy that stock now. Let's wait. We have the crop report from Clarence Beeks. We know the right time to make our move. We know to wait. No, waiting is only going to make it cost more. Whatever it would have been last September, it's going to be more now. Whatever it would have been last week before St. Brown and Brown did their deals, it's going to be more now. It's going to keep going up. It's going to keep going up. So stop the bleeding and get the damn thing done. I don't know why they don't see that, Chris.
I don't know either. You know, I think they do see it. Listen, the one thing, I'm not going to question this group too much. They've been on top of just about everything. You know, I questioned, like, wow, you let Kirk Cousins out of the building. He's a franchise quarterback, and that's a big time, like, hey, get out of here, and, like, we're going to find something new to replace it. Well, they found something. Right, I mean, so they filled that void. Now we'll see to what extent they filled it, but I certainly like it as it sits here and stands right now. I mean, damn, everything they've done in free agency to kind of retool the team, that's been extraordinary in my opinion. The draft was damn good, right? I just think this is the last piece of the puzzle, and I think it's only a matter of time. Now, like, what I will say and what I hear from the league is, yeah, it's nitpicky. That's what I've kind of hear here. It's a difference of $1.5 million or $2 million, and it's like, wait, we're way up here with this number. Let's just close this gap and get it done. I don't think any of these receivers have anything to do with Justin Jefferson, because I think, to your point, it's already beyond that. That's not, they're not even in the, they're like $32 million. It's jump change. No problem. There, it's, is it 35 or is it 37? Is it 36 and a half or is it 34 and a half? That's where they're at, to your point. And that's what I've been led to believe. But what I don't know is why there is the kerfuffle or the issue over the $2 million or why they can't get there. But I just think at the end of the day, it's going to happen sometime here in the next month, Mike.
But Chris, think about that. If it's somewhere between 34 and 36 now, what would it have been in September? And remember, at some point, someone leaked to Shefty that he turned down $30 million per year in September. Well, that's looking like a pretty good decision.
Yeah, they knew. The agent realized the market is going to, there's going to be a bunch of receivers that are going to get $30 million a year after this year's over. They knew. So good by them. They did know, right? And they raised
right.
the price.
My tag. Point is, yeah, right. The Vikings, and this applies to all teams. I'm not picking on the Vikings here. And it's possible to do a lot of things well and screw one big thing up in a massive way, which I think they're at risk of doing with Jefferson. You just have to recognize it's not going to change. The money that you would have saved is not going to flow back to you. At some point, you just have to say, we have to do it. Because it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get more expensive. It's only going to go up as more deals come in. Get it done. And, you know, and I've heard some chatter that there's frustration. There's a perception the Vikings have been playing games. There's structural issues that, you know, that they don't want to guarantee the first full 3 years.
Yeah.
So there's a point where you just have to say, this is our most important player. And one thing that helps, Chris, Justin Jefferson and J.J. McCarthy are represented by the same firm. And so maybe that.
Yeah.
The fact that they got McCarthy, and it maximizes both players' best interests for everybody to be there working together, getting the most out of their talents. Maybe that just helps set the mood to get this done. But get it done. Get it done and get him there for the offseason program, especially with a new quarterback. Get him there for the OTAs. Make him happy. Make him want to be there. Make him realize money is never an issue again in my life for me or my kids or even their kids. Let's go play football. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, no, I hopefully it gets to that. You know, I'm going to bet it does. I'm going to bet they figure it out. I don't think, as long as they get it done before the season, I don't think the price tag goes up or anything there. I think they realize it. There's only one way I could see the price tag going up, and that would be because of number one with the Bengal stripes on his helmet, where all of a sudden he makes a deal where they go, whoa, he signed for a little bit more than we thought, and now Justin Jefferson's going to want more than that. That is, to me, the only thing right now between the season that will drive that price up, maybe past where they've been talking about. We'll see where it goes. I'm with you. They're crazy if they don't get it done. Get it done. He's one of the best players in football.
But if you wait until just before the season, you've squandered the opportunity to have him there for the offseason program. I think that's why you do it now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now. Agreed.
And I feel like Chase is waiting for Jefferson, and I don't think Chase is going to do anything. Remember, Chase is a year behind him.
Yep.
Chase has 3 years in, Jefferson has four, so I think Chase sits and waits, and once Jefferson does his deal, he tries to outdo it. Good luck with the Bengals. Good luck. Because there was the report yesterday that they're offering T. Higgins less than $20 million a year on a long-term deal. His franchise tag is 21.8. I mean, that's Washington crap with Kirk Cousins, where the tag's 20 and you're offering him 16 a year. Of course he's going to say no to that. It's an offer he's not going to accept.
Right.
You're putting a polite offer out there so it looks like you're trying, even though you're not trying very hard. All right, we're trying very hard to stay on time, and we're not that far off. Let's take a break. When we return, the 49ers took a receiver in round one. What does that mean for the guys currently on the roster? More PFT Live right after this.
Can you give us a comp on Ricky Pearsall? Who does he remind you of?
That's tough. I don't know if I want to do that. It reminds me of myself, just a lot faster, a lot better, much better hands, can jump, can just do everything much better.
Kyle Shanahan, how about this? No hat, tie, and a real tie, not a clip-on. I don't know what got into Kyle Shanahan last week. It's time for business.
I think it's standard draft protocol there.
That look where you undo the button and you pull the tie down a little bit, that is dad who got home from a long day at work look. But maybe it was a long day of work, long day of sweat, and they weren't on the clock until 31. They get a receiver in Ricky Pearsall, and not a shock given the uncertainty they have short-term and long-term with their top two receivers, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
You've heard me tell this story before. This is where coaches got to be careful. They draft guys that remind them of themselves, and I want to remind all these coaches, none of you were that good. You didn't play in the NFL. Why do you want to do that? I don't know. But look at my guy right here, right? My guy could really run routes. There's no doubt about that, right? I mean, he was a special route runner. And it's kind of like if he was a little behind his time, right? Like if he was like 10 years younger, right, where he could have like the slot player was a real thing, right, in college football in the NFL, he probably would have played in the NFL because he was made for that. But like the slot thing in 2001 college football was not a real thing right there, right? So, either way, I know his point. I know what he's trying to say. I would go, Ricky Pearsall reminds me of a better Adam Thielen than a better Kyle Shanahan. I think that'll sell better, okay? But that's what he is. And, yeah, I mean, Shanahan, at that pick there in the draft, they were a little bit in that no man's land like we talked about so many times. And, you know, I think Pearsall is the kind of guy he's always looking for. Got all the physical talent that he likes, let alone an incredible route runner. And Shanahan's one of those guys that knows how to use route runners and get them open.
I guarantee you there is another show in the world on this day where you will be getting Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan. Texas.
They're missing out right there. They're missing out. Ago. Damn, we were good.
But Yeah, I love watching your highlights because I love watching the left-handed throw because we don't have enough left-handers. I mean, that's the Michael
Penix. And we're not going to get to see him this year. He just sat on the damn bench for a while. Damn it.
We need more lefties. We need more lefties in the NFL. Okay, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan also addressing trade talks. This is from both Thursday and Friday of last week. Brandon Ayuk, and late to the conversation was this possibility that Deebo Samuel would be in the mix. Here's what they had to say about both of those guys.
I know that we're continuing to have positive talks with BA, and we are really efforting to get something done with him, and we're excited about continuing down that path. And Brandon being a part of this team, Deebo is a part of this team and a big part of this team.
Close the door on a trade?
Never close the door on a trade.
Yeah, I thought it was unlikely going into it, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. You listen to everything. Everything's about trying to improve our team as much as we can for 2024 without jeopardizing 25 as much as possible. So that's everything you look into. And whenever that opportunity comes, whichever way, if you can improve your team, you do that. Sometimes it's hard to picture proving your team, though, without them.
Were there any other trade talks that people come looking hard at Deebo or Ayuk today?
We didn't entertain any of that today. You know, we're happy with our wide receiver group. Actually, more than happy. We're really thrilled with it and thrilled to have added Ricky to that group and even make it stronger.
Love those guys. We think they thought they'd be on our team yesterday. Still do. And we still always listen to everybody till the end of. I don't want to give a bad quote for you guys. Almost did it again, but yeah, that doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow, ever.
Just a reminder.
He's scared
really
of you. He's scared
day.
Of making quotes. Yeah. He doesn't want you writing some stupid quote on the top of PFT.
point that I made earlier, though, in the Kirk Cousins item that we posted this morning. The team is always going to do what's in its best interest. It's always going to do what's right for it. Never going to close the door on a trade, except, you know, if you have Patrick Mahomes. But it's all driven by what is best for the team. And if it happens to be what also is best for the player, that's coincidental. They're never going to do anything except this Travis Kelce contract where, you know, they righted the wrongs of years gone by.
Yeah, that's
rare. Very, very rare that you're going to have anything like that. And again, they might have done it because they were concerned he was going to storm out. Again, we don't know what precipitated the contract. Rarely, if ever, do teams do anything out of the goodness of their heart when it comes to who's on their team. They want to have the best team possible. They want to spend as little as they can to get the best players. And if you've got this glut now with Ayuk, Samuel, and Pearsall, when there'd already been unhappiness from Ayuk, when Samuel's got the bloated salary that he hasn't really lived up to the past year or two, you got to make some decisions. And it sounds like they were open for business. There was a report from Mike Silver, the San Francisco Chronicle, that the Steelers were interested in Deebo. They had been interested in Ayuk. They were interested in Deebo, but they didn't want to give the 49ers what they wanted. So it doesn't happen, but it could still happen at some point down the road. That's what Kyle was starting to say before he stopped himself, lest he create the top headline at PFT.
Yeah, right. That's right. All right. I mean, yeah, you don't know where this can go, right? You know, somebody gets hurt on a football team. A team kind of evaluates themselves here to OTAs and minicamp. It goes, damn, we definitely need a receiver. Who has an abundance of them? Oh, that's right. The 49ers got three. Maybe they'll give us one of them. Whatever. You know, I don't expect that to happen. We'll see where that goes. I do think with the drafting of Ricky Pearsall, kind of like I will say that one of those guys is going to be gone next year. That would be at least I would say that.
24 or 25.
Oh, what for 25? For 25. I think this year it'll stay status quo with these three guys, which is exciting if you're a 49er fan. I mean, these three receivers on the field with Kittle and that running game and McCaffrey, man, I mean, yeah, Purdy's got to be extremely happy with what he is surrounded by right now on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, Shanahan, Lynch, they're dancing that fine line, Mike. I mean, you allude to it a lot, right? Relevant. Are you going all in? You winning, right? And it's hard. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I know Shanahan. He wants to win the Super Bowl this year. But does he want to win it to such an extent, kind of like he said there in that press conference, that they have no chance in 25, or maybe it ruins their chance of being in that conversation in 26? And they're trying to dance that fine line of, hey, we can still win it, but we're still trying to keep ourselves available to win it after this year too. And that's where it's tough. And that's where it gets back into the balancing of assets and the Falcons and $180 million to the same position, and one guy's a top 10 pick and he's not going to be playing on the field. That's crazy. That's why the whole league's like, what? All right, but yes, the 49ers are trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it's the challenge of having an elite team that you can keep at an elite level without a dip.
Yeah, right.
But also without all in the sense that Jerry Jones originally said it, not in the sense that he has later applied it and tried to warp it and twist it. That deviation from everything's fine, everything's good, we're right here, let's do what we can, let's just do it this year, let's go get it. And if any team is going to be tempted to do that, it's the 49ers, because they've been right there knocking the door, except for 2020, which was marred by injury. They've been really one of the best teams in all of football. 2019 through 2023, they have been right there with the Chiefs. Two Super Bowl appearances.
Four NFC Championship games.
Two Super Bowl wins.
Right.
Yes. They are there, and they're trying to keep it there, and it's just not easy to do because you got to pay your players, and they have the expectation they're going to be compensated. So when do you pay them, and when do you pull the plug on that contract? That's where they are with Ayuk and Samuel. They're trying to delay paying him, and they're also trying to delay the reckoning that it's time for Samuel to take a lot less or go somewhere else. He's got like a $20 million salary this year, and he hasn't been at that level lately. All due respect. I mean, we got to call it like it is. He can get back there, I suppose, but it feels like it's starting to dip for him. It's going up for Ayuk. How do you manage that? You
bring
in
right.
Ricky Pearsall. You're right. Their best play is going to be to hold it together for this year, and I won't rule out the possibility that they move on from Ayuk or Samuel. The problem is, it's 2025 draft picks now.
Yeah.
It's not anybody that's going to make you better this year.
That's
unless
right.
You do a player swap where it's somebody who comes in and you can plug in to your team and make your team a lot better right now.
Yeah, I think they hold the band together, to your point. I think they make another strong push here. They reevaluate after the year, and then it's like, yeah, they figure out, well, you know, which guy do we want? Do we want Samuel? Do we want Ayuk? I don't know, right? But I certainly think it could be either one. I wouldn't be shocked if they signed Ayuk after the year to the long-term extension and then tried to find a way to move Deebo Samuel. Or maybe they keep Deebo and Ayuk's gone. I don't think I'd be shocked either way there. But I think your point about Deebo is real, right? Last year, 2 years ago, all right, that was the first year of his contract. It was an underwhelming year. He did not kill it. Last year was a good year, but it wasn't great. And he kind of disappeared in the big moments. And, yeah, that's where I think any team would look at that and go, wait, we're paying him like he's a take-over-the-game kind of guy. And, man, in our big games, he's not taking over anything. And that's got to bother the 49ers a little bit.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, a game of which doesn't belong and why with some of the receivers drafted this weekend. That's next here on PFT Live.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Saka leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
The U.S. Women's Open is the premier championship in women's golf. fought on the hardest courses against the best competition for the greatest prize. And for Nelly Korda to continue her historic run,
that's really dominant golf.
She'll have to earn this title against the greatest competition.
And it's Allison Corpus at Pebble Beach.
The U.S. Women's Open, presented by Ally, May 30th through June 2nd on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
What you going with your boxes?
Yeah, usually we'll print like...
It's not bad. Step in this one.
It's not cold.
This one's a cold chicken.
Hey, boy, that's enough to freeze my pants, boy. We trying to go roll in the snow, too? Boy, I just made a great... I feel like the... Cut the lights off. I feel like the Undertaker. Let's do it again. We got to reshoot that one. We got to put his music on.
This ain't John Cena. This Undertaker right here. Watch all the smoke come out of here.
This how the pre-drive be. Ah! Step in. Yeah, come on.
All right. We apologize to anybody listening to the podcast or on SiriusXM for that, but that was Keon Coleman having fun with the cryotherapy chamber in Buffalo. He's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to be, and you know, the thing about cryotherapy, don't burn your feet, Antonio.
Yeah,
cryotherapy chamber. That's the one pro tip for Keon.
Right. Now that's gone to a different level with stuff like that and like NFL locker rooms and the updating of technology and like you don't need to like go into like a basically a damn tomb anymore to sit in the cryotherapy. You can just be in a room and it can be that cold. That's definitely better. But yeah, Keon Coleman, he's been extremely funny so far in his little Bills debut.
All right, so which doesn't belong and why? Receivers drafted in 2024. We start with top 10 receivers. There were three of them. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Which doesn't belong and why?
Well, I'm going to go with Malik Nabers doesn't belong, right? Like Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, you know, I think are really damn good football players. Want them on my team. They were worthy of that top 10 pick. But Nabers, to me, is in another class. And I think a lot of football, as you've heard me say, and I think you've heard through the grapevine too, that Nabers was viewed by a lot of teams in another class. Superstar. Odell Beckham Jr., Jamar Chase are the names that have been thrown out there to me by people. You know as well as I know, there was action at five for the Chargers pick for Malik Nabers. Nabers was a guy that teams were like, oh, we might trade up to get him and try to jump the Giants. So Nabers, to me, has the chance to be the biggest superstar of the group, and that's why I'll say he doesn't belong.
I agree with you there, and I respect your evaluation of the receivers. I'm going to say Harrison just because he's got an independent streak, a maverick streak
yeah.
that I can relate to, that right. I like, where he doesn't talk to reporters. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. He didn't sign.
Pisses his bosses off on a Monday, like stuff like that, you mean? Like that kind
yeah.
of stuff?
He didn't sign the group licensing agreement, so you couldn't buy his jersey after he was drafted by the Cardinals, and he's not going to be in the Madden game, and that makes people upset. But I like it, man. Do your own thing. Do what's right for you. Don't go along with the herd. Be your own person, and I like that about Marvin Harrison Jr. There's a lesson to be learned.
I hear there.
Sometimes
I hear
you just go along with what everyone else does because everyone else is doing it. Well, that doesn't make it right. It's just what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I do. I appreciate him, you know, being different and doing what he thinks he needs to do to be successful for himself. I just certainly appreciate that.
All right, trade up targets. These are all players for whom the team that got them moved up. Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, which
yeah.
doesn't belong and why?
Well, I'm going to go with Ladd McConkey. I mean, one of the obvious reasons, I mean, Worthy and Leggett are first-round picks, right? But I think the reason I go with Ladd McConkey is just he's a little different than those two other guys, right? Where Xavier Worthy and Leggett are looked at as big play specimen types, right? Where I like the Ladd McConkey pick for the Chargers, one, we talk about culture all the time, right? Culture is about getting guys in there that'll buy into what you do, how you play, do all that. And that's where I like the Chargers picks. They're those type of guys. They're Harbaugh type of guys. And they got two big receivers in Palmer and Quentin Johnson. Now you got a guy that's kind of the jitterbug slot, you know, read the coverage, make the appropriate cut or break, right? And yet he still has enough speed to scare people deep, but he's a little different than those other two guys, and that's why I'll go with Ladd McConkey.
I'm going to go with Leggett just because
his country accent.
I mean, my read on it is he wanted somebody to jump the Panthers and draft him in the worst possible way. When he comes out and says they've told me 50 times they're going to draft me, it's like, does he really want to go to Carolina? If he does, you don't say that out loud, and then eventually the Panthers trade up to make sure he doesn't slip away to someone else again. You're never going to get the truth, but it's not very often that you have a guy who says so loudly and so clearly as Leggett did that a team has told him over and over again that they're going to draft him. I feel like he was hoping for a way to a better team, but we'll see. Maybe the Panthers will get better. Big-bodied receivers in late round one and round two. Brian Thomas Jr., Jaguars, Bills taking Keon Coleman, and the Colts with Adonai Mitchell, which doesn't belong and why.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. because I do think he's in a different class than those other guys there. Brian Thomas Jr. at 23 is an incredible pick. You know, as you have heard, I mean, and you know, of course I think so, but I know this is a pretty normal league thought. Brian Thomas Jr., as far as the film is concerned and all that, was right in the class of the three guys we started the segment with, as far as Harrison Jr., Odunze, and Malik Nabers, right? So, and he's certainly, I think, a jump up from where Keon Coleman and Adonai Mitchell, who I like a lot, but like, this is a guy in Brian Thomas Jr. that has the size of those guys, yet he's got three rockets up his ass to say, see you later, I'm going for an 80-yard touchdown. And that's where that is special. You know, I was a little surprised. I didn't know what Jacksonville was going to do with that pick. I really didn't. But damn, they decided to go all in on offense and be strong there. You know, they addressed defensive stuff in free agency, but now, damn, you throw that receiver in there with Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, right? And they still got Zay Jones down there. That's a damn good, you know, trio they got in Jacksonville right now.
I'll go with Coleman just because I love the kid and I love the personality. Yep. I love the authenticity. We had the clip yesterday of him talking about his coat and where he got his coat, and he got it at Macy's. He's going into the whole psychology of when it's the right time to go buy your coats. And it's just, I just love guys who are who they are, who don't feel compelled to be something other than that just because the cameras are on and the lights are shining. So he's going to be a very refreshing presence, I think, in the NFL. Let's take a break. When we return, we mentioned Adonai Mitchell. He fell to the Colts, and Chris Ballard, for the second straight year, had some things to say about the anonymous scouts who try to get guys to fall. That's next here on PFT Live.
I mean, I read some of the that was set on TV. I mean, just a typical, excuse my language, our typical lead, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such it's like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
Chris Ballard, Colts GM, second straight year that he had something strong to say about this habit, this ritual. And I don't know if it happened less this year or just I am more walled off from it. Last year, the big thing was C.J. Stroud and the S2 test, and that's what I think.
I think it was less this year.
This time.
Yeah.
This time, Adonai Mitchell, the guy that they took at pick number 52, he was the target of some of it. Well, we didn't hear anything. I didn't go looking, so I don't know if the Wunderlich scores got out there. It never hit my radar screen, Wunderlich or anything else, which is good. And remember, some of the agents were saying, our guys aren't even going to take the test. Here's the problem with it. And this is where folks need to understand the difference between anonymously sourced fact and anonymously sourced opinion.
That's right.
And I learned this early in the life cycle of PFT. And since I had no journalistic training, I had to kind of learn by doing. And you develop your sense of what's proper and what's not as it relates to what you can use from these people who are telling you things. Fact. Anonymously reported fact makes the world go round. It's the Pentagon Papers. It's all the president's men. I mean, that's how truth comes to light, factual truth. When it's opinion, when it's what someone thinks, yeah, put your name on it, especially with the draft, because it could be somebody manipulating a reporter, hopeful that some nugget catches fire and that player falls, so the person who's putting the negative opinion out there gets the guy that he wants all along. That's the game. You say great things about the guys you don't like, hoping that some sucker in front of you will draft them. You say bad things about the guy you do like because you hope he lands in your lap. That's inherent to the draft, but that's why the anonymous scout opinions should be shunned by all reporters, and the reporters who traffic in them should be called out. And I don't care how many years you've been doing it or how respected you are or what your name is. If you're trafficking in that crap, you deserve to be called out.
Well, yeah, I think the first thing is you almost want to be like, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if one day somebody turns around and gets legal on the NFL with this kind of crap. I mean, to a degree, like, hey, damn, you're releasing information that shouldn't be released, test scores, medical stuff, right? I mean, so that would be the first thing that pops in my brain at times. And then the other thing is, it's insensitive. It's wrong. I mean, it just really is. We've seen them be wrong with these type of things that are let out to the media, like C.J. Stroud last year. Could that have been more wrong? Oh, that stupid test. He'll never succeed. Oh, that's right. He's the greatest rookie quarterback ever. Wrong. Right? And some of these things, too, to your point with opinions or whatever, it's to the source. Right? How many times can I tell you that one team sees one player one way because they have one guy they talk, and who knows, maybe that guy doesn't like player on the team, and he didn't like, you know, maybe it's the equipment guy, and he didn't put his laundry away every day, so he's like, ah, that guy's a jerk, right? He speaks badly about him, right? But other team talks to the guy in the weight room or whoever else, and they're going, he's amazing, he's awesome, we love him, blah, blah, blah. So that stuff a lot of the times is hearsay, who you talk to and all of that, and it's put out there like fact, and that's where it's wrong.
And there's that motivation embedded at the core of this to try to get a guy to slide so you can get him. That is the biggest reason to look at all those opinions and say, I'm just going to ignore them. All right, draft over. We're going to do a draft of the best receiving trios in the NFL next here on PFT Live.
You're coming to a situation with two very good wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. What are you hoping to bring to that group, and what are you hoping to learn from them?
I'm hoping to learn a lot. You know, they've been in the league a good bit and, you know, been veterans in the league, been doing well for themselves for a long time. So, you know, soak up all the information that, you know, I can and learn from them and, you know, hopefully go out there and make some plays too. You know, I just came from a wide receiver trio that was able to have a lot of success at my college. So I think we can just do the same exact thing, but at the next level.
I know we got to get to the draft. I've seen photo bombers before. I never saw a photo bomber take a photo before, which is what happened if you were watching that clip.
I did.
Carefully.
Yes.
I opened up, looked, and then pulled up his phone and took a photo. All right, let's take a snapshot of the best trios of receivers in the NFL now that the draft is over. And there aren't a lot of three deep. Wow. This is part of that exercise. Who do you have?
It is. Yeah, I mean, you're right, right? We were talking before the break, right? Like, I mean, hey, the Dolphins have two unbelievable ones, and I don't really give a damn who the third one is. I think I'm going to take that trio up there, right? I mean, that's certainly. But for the spirit of three, right off to start the bat, or start off the draft, off the bat, I should say, is I'm going to take the Bears. I am. I'm going to take them. I like it. I'm excited about the Bears. One, I look at it and go, yeah, it is a three. It's a complete three. Of course, one's really young. One's right in the prime of his career in DJ Moore. And Keenan Allen's coming down the stretch, but, you know, still damn good. And, of course, has real value to the football team. So I'm going to take the Bears. I like the, hey, receiver. They're going firepower. They're going to set up their number one pick the right way right off the bat.
Texans, for me, we almost did this draft after the Stephon Diggs trade. We almost did it then. That would have been the inspiration for it. With Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, give me the Texans. Give me number two. We got to move.
Okay, number two. Got to move. I'm going to do the Rams here, and I'm trying to stay within the spirit of three. All right? I'm trying to do that. Okay, and I'm going to make it 2-2 Atwell, not DeMarcus Robinson. So I'm going to go Puka, Cooper Kupp, and 2-2 Atwell. Right, to try to stay in that spirit there, and I don't know if I could stay in that spirit much longer.
All right, I'm going to go with the Vikings here. If it was just Justin Jefferson, it would get him on the list. But Jordan Addison right. was great last year. Brandon Powell, who was kind of a, who's that guy? Who's number four? Who's
yes.
that guy? Hey, he's
right.
pretty good. So
he
they
is.
Got three really good receivers, especially because they got the best one in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with
let's
you there.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. Host this damn show.
We got one
let's
round
go.
Left. Stick around. We'll do it next here on PFT Live. All right, one more round to go. The best trios at receiver in the NFL, or the best duos with the third guy that is just along for the ride.
And I know. There's so many things you could go here, right? Like, we could have added, like, you know, two receivers and a tight end if we wanted to, like, get in just the best three pass catchers. Maybe that's a draft for the future. That could work, right? But I got to go with Seattle next. I mean, come on. It's DK Metcalf. He's a superstar, right? I mean, our yards per catch, over 1,000 yards, big play. Tyler Lockett, of course. And then Jaquan Smith-Njigba came on at the end of the year. I'm going to take the Seahawks as my third.
You mentioned them out of the gates, and you didn't even pick
I know.
The Dolphins.
I know. I tried to stay within the spirit of three. I tried to do it.
Well, I know, but just put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle out there, and Kyle Shanahan, put him out there. Make him number three. And you're still one of the top trios currently in the National Football
League.
Kyle Shanahan coming out of college, or Kyle Shanahan right now? With Waddle and Hill, they're still among the top.
Well, let's put Braxton Berrios in there because he is their third receiver. Let's give him a little respect, okay? Jeez, respect
right,
it.
Braxton.
You said trio. You don't even give like a third guy any love. How dare you?
That's it for today. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
Way to go. Way to not get fired today, Florio. Good job, man. Way to go. See ya.